Good morning. Thank you so much for spending your morning here with us on the Sunday edition. I'm Alisa Z, and I'm joined in the studio by the one and only, because I can't imagine there's more than one, Timothy Yankee. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. We're learning a lot, and I want to learn about this feather you handed to me. You explained a tiny bit before, and what I really want to know is about the four directions. This is a beautiful feather that has some lovely, intricate beadwork that is, it's pretty amazing how that really so perfectly.
Right, and how tight it is, right?
Tightly wrapped around, and I will treasure this and tell us what the four directions are.
Sure, I picked that out specifically for you. For a woman that has an incredible career, and I'm sure you were confronted with a lot of paths and options in your life and what direction to go in. I do a series of paintings encompassing the four directions. Sometimes they're sacred shields or the dream catchers. But the colors that you see, they're white, black, red, and yellow. Those colors represent the four directions. However, they may differ from tribe to tribe. You know, some may use black for west or whatever. I've researched it out, and there's not a consistency there, but it is the same four colors. And the concept behind it and the theory is that, you know how sometimes you see in the fields the circle of rocks, and there's like a like crosshairs in the center of it, if you will. That is a medicine wheel or a four directions. And the theory is that when you place yourself in the center of that medicine wheel, or when you place yourself mentally in the four directions in the center there, you're looking for guidance. And Native Americans, Indians, First Nation, I want to get it all out of so we can, I've covered everything. So perhaps.
And if we've missed any, we apologize.
Exactly,
we
right.
need to be all inclusive. Yes.
Exactly. So the First Nation people would utilize the four directions and the concept of it, in spiritual journeys, geographical, physical journeys, or whatever journeys that they want to embark in. And the idea is to place yourself there and, one, surrender yourself to the Great Spirit and become aware of yourself and your being, your breathing, the whole thing, you know. I mean, way before yoga was even cool, you know, you know, not in the Eastern civilization, but here in the Western civilization. So you place yourself there, and when you surrender yourself fully, spiritually or whatever your motives may be, then the Great Spirit will go ahead and provide you with the proper direction to take. It reminds me of, I'm a big fan of Yogi Berra quotes, and he once had a quote, if you come to a fork in the road, take it. Right? Beautiful. So same thing with the four directions. And I don't mean to diminish, you know, the ideology behind.
But I know what
behind,
you mean. Yes.
Right. So surrender yourself. The Great Spirit will go ahead and guide you in the right direction for your journey.
Okay.
So for teenagers or youth or yourself, you said you're 50, you know, that are, you know, you're still looking, you're at the crossroads of your life. You know, there's still plenty of journeys to embark in. And there is never a wrong road. And that's my opinion.
Yes.
The four direction is that there's always a right road. And I think whatever one you choose will be right if you surrender yourself properly and allow the Great Spirit to go ahead and present you with the proper paths.
How did you get to this particular road? Because I know you're much younger than I am. You've already shaved many years off of my life. I appreciate it. It made me much younger. And you are much younger than I. But you didn't spring forth, at least consciously, fully formed as an artist. Tell me a little bit about your journey.
To where I, in my professional life.
How did you become an artist? What was your background?
Well, you know what?
There's no wrong answer.
That's exactly right. And the three of us here are here because of all the decisions and choices we made in our lives.
Right.
The left turns, the right turns, the no turns.
Yes.
Got us to this point. We are all born artists, right? You had damaging words to you in regards to, you know, what are you doing? It doesn't look like anything.
Right.
Or can't you stay between the lines? And like we said, which is too bad.
Will you call Mrs. Epstein right now?
I will. You know what? I have a few teachers, too, as well, that, you know, crumpled up all my drawings. But
they're kicking themselves now, well, aren't they, too?
I hope. But you know what? Listen. What a bonus. When your last name starts with Y, like in Yankee,
yes.
And if the teacher seats you alphabetically, I'm always in the back.
You're always
of the,
at the end.
Yes. So therefore, every class is art class for me. Art, history, science. I'm drawing. So maybe that's what got me to where I am right now, having my last name start with Y.
Sometimes.
But I pursued it. And as a child, and I remember in elementary school and junior high, I always drew, and I was constantly drawing and sketching.
Okay.
And it was challenging because people would always come up to me, hey, Yankee, try to draw this. Or, hey, Tim, can you draw this? And it was awesome because I almost could draw anything, or at least better than the next guy. You know what
sure.
I mean? And maybe they were terrible. I don't know. And, you know, when you get those votes of compliments and
yes.
your confidence grows. And so it took on a path of its own. Like I said, all of us are artists. You just took the exit.
Yes.
I never got off that highway, you know, and now I prefer a two-lane road, you
yes,
know, but,
yes.
but I stayed on that road
okay.
because, wow, I really had wonderful satisfaction when I would draw something and I spent some time on maybe something challenging and I accomplished it. That was very rewarding.
Were your parents supportive?
You nailed it. And I was going to touch upon it. A lot of people say, you know, ask me, you know, what are your major inspirations and what is your drive? And I wish I had a better artist's response because it's a perfect platform to say, well, let me tell you what inspires me. This is the truth, and it's a simple one.
Mm-hmm.
My father encouraged me, and I can specifically remember I was drawing in our kitchen right mm-hmm. here in Southfield, not probably 6 miles away from here.
Right.
And it had to be a Sunday because my father worked an awful lot for his father-in-law, my grandfather.
Okay.
So it was a Sunday, and I presented him with an illustration, a little drawing that I did. And he put down the paper, and he gave me a hug, and he told me, I know this sounds really corny, but he told me, he goes, you know what, Tim? You've got a great imagination. You're very creative. And I thought, wow, check me out. I got a great imagination. I'm pretty creative. And that stuck to my ribs from that moment on. And you look back at it now, and people don't understand and realize the power of an adult or a guardian or whatever. Mm-hmm. When they tell a child something, you can tell them you're never going to amount to anything, or you're just a bum. Are you kidding? You know how damaging that is?
And not only the words your father spoke, saying you're creative, you have a great imagination, but the fact that the way he told you let you know those are good things. Because imagine if you said that with different inflection.
You know what? You are right.
If that said with just minorly different inflection.
You're right.
Ugh, look at your imagination. You're
right.
Creative.
Right, because I could have grown up thinking, you
That's
know,
a bad
well,
thing. Go,
what good is an imagination or creativity?
Right. But he supported it and told it to you in the way that lets you know it's a positive thing. It's a good thing. Grow with it.
And, Elisa, from that moment on, I had confidence. And to this day, I am painting abstract expressionistic paintings that I know are very creative and come from a deep core of imagination.
Yes.
It may not be understood from a lot of people. Okay?
Doesn't
matter.
But
I can't concern myself with that because I'm not painting it for other people.
Right.
And I don't mean to sound like an egotistical way, I'm painting it for myself. My paintings are simply a byproduct through God and creativity. They come out of my finger. It comes out of my fingertips and onto the canvas before I can even recognize it. Like I said about Georgia O'Keeffe,
right.
I surrender myself to the piece. And at the end of the day, I look at this painting and saying, I receive so much more satisfaction looking at this perhaps crazy abstract because I knew it came from something deep within myself.
Yes.
And it's purely organic and indigenous to myself.
Right, right.
And I look at that opposed to some of the other paintings that I spent hundreds of hours or mm-hmm. drawings that I may have done to make it look exactly like what I wanted it to look like.
Right.
At the end of the day, you look like, wow, you know what? That looks just like it. And you move on. But you want to say, wait, I spent hundreds of hours on
it. Right,
right. And the reward is nothing.
Goodness.
The more challenging things are, the bigger the reward.
Okay, and that makes sense too.
Right?
And you've been represented by working with Park West Gallery
yes.
for how long?
Oh, probably just shy of 20 years.
Wow.
Just
That's
shy of
incredible.
20 years. Oh, yeah.
And shine a light on some of, how does that marriage work and what do you do and where do you go?
Well,
oh, the places I've been.
That. Oh, you mean globally in regards to, well, I am extremely fortunate. This is, maybe a lot of artists may not agree, but I've seen it. I understand what is out there. I know the profession, and I have a good living painting, and I've worked with this company for a long time. Albert is a true visionary. He is, it's safe to say, a tycoon of the art world. And where Park West artists are is extremely rarefied air. And I don't know how to compare it to, I don't want to say a rock star or a super, you know, a movie star, but in the art world, I'm telling you, this is where you want to be. The visibility that is provided through the gallery is insane. Mm-hmm. So whether it be cruise ships or land events, for example, I leave tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning for a gig in Seattle.
Okay.
I've done Boston already, Fort Lauderdale, let alone we just...
And a dozen and a half cruises a year.
Exactly. And we just got back from South America. We rounded the horn. We went to Buenos Aires and Chile and Patagonia. And I met wonderful, wonderful people. And I'll do anywhere from... I've done up to 15 cruises in 1 year.
Really?
But this year I'll probably do six or eight. And then you tie that into maybe another 10 or so land events. And okay. What I mean by land events, you know, an auction.
Yes.
In San Diego or Austin or New York City. Or
what if we go to the Park West Gallery?
To the website, to my website, timothyyankee.com, parkwestgallery.com, or 29469 Northwestern Highway, right down the street here at Park West Gallery.
Where I think most people, even if they haven't glanced since, when the Peter Max exhibit was there, everybody saw that sign. And I think that drew so many people, thankfully.
Yes.
Because obviously the world of art is a whole lot more than the Peter Max
of course
posters. However, I think it brought people in to say, oh, look what else there is here.
You know,
check it out.
You are right. And I've talked to a lot of people that, wow, I've driven by that place for 20 years.
Yes.
You know, I've never stopped. People are intimidated by mm-hmm. an art gallery and or a museum. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know anything. They don't realize that you can just go in. Now, this is a family-run operation.
Right.
Okay? It's the largest privately owned art gallery in the world. Okay?
Amazing.
On 105, call it 110, somewhere around there, cruise ships. So there's 105 Park West galleries on this. On the seas. So the intimidation factor is there to go into it. And I hear this all the time. Wow, people were so warm and welcoming, and there's a staff on hand. Mm-hmm. People think it's a museum. You know, in fact, there's an artist, Yaakov Agam from Tel Aviv.
Yes.
And I remember years ago he was saying to Albert that this is the museum that sells. You know, and I think if Albert's listening, that
means.
Should be the tagline,
there,
the museum that sells.
The museum that
sells. But it is an incredible, the building itself is a work of art.
Yes.
And the contents of it, not because I am in it, but the contents of it is just incredible artists from around the world. And I've had the opportunity to meet these artists globally, and I've become very, very good friends with a lot of them. And that is through the visionary concept behind Albert and the incredible
and the
staff that he has surrounding him.
We have a minute left.
Oh, come on, really?
You'll come back another time. Wrap us up. Send us home in a warm Tim Yankee blanket.
Wow, it's a full count, bottom of the ninth.
There you
and,
go.
Okay.
But you'll be back, as Bob Dustman is my witness.
Sure,
you'll
okay.
be back.
Well, you know what? I've done plenty of things. I'm working with Habitat for Humanity. I want to start getting into, I'm working with the Gary Sinise Foundation, the American Indian College Fund. This article right here in the last issue of the year for Cowboys and Indians magazine.
John Wayne on the cover.
John, exactly. Perfect. It's a great article. I'm very happy with it. It brought my art to a national level in the print media.
There's one in here that I am absolutely in love with.
Yeah, that Buffalo piece.
I'm going to sleep with this magazine.
I got you covered. I got something coming your way.
It's under my pillow now. So.
There you go. So it's taking every time I turn, we're hitting a new level. We're hitting a new level. So between the cruise ships and again, for Habitat for Humanity, Bob has been very instrumental with this as well, working with Oakland County. And we want to get to statewide and eventually go national with providing painted and embellished works to the homes of Habitat for Humanity. And that's been a struggle in itself because they usually just want money as donations.
Right.
I picked Habitat for Humanity because they have something called sweat equity, and it's
yes.
and it's a wonderful thing.
Yep.
So my goal is to get one of my paintings into every one of these Habitat for Humanity houses. The veterans and the police force, I mean, Gary Sinise Foundation, like I said, American Indian College Fund, Ronald McDonald House. I mean, there's a lot of things I want to do. I see too many people too often not to go ahead and promote these mm-hmm. these charities. Mm-hmm. And it is all about giving back. And
when we're off mic, I'm going to tell you about one more you're going to have to know about.
Something to do with horses, perhaps?
Yes. Have you been cyber stalking me or something?
No. Well, there's another one out west called People Helping Horses,
oh, okay.
And I want to do something with that as well. I'm all over it. Whatever I can do to help out, I will do. And if anybody else has any ideas, any foundations throughout the city of Detroit, I am more than happy to help out, donate paintings, especially the Detroit, you know, how it's really up and coming now.
Yes.
And if anybody has any ideas, I'd love to help out in any way.
I am so grateful, and
wow.
You have to promise you'll come back.
I am indeed. If I'm not on a cruise ship, I'm here with you.
I love it. Thank you so much.
You bet. No worries.
Thank you for spending your morning here as well. Once again, I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.